Thanks.
Brought to you by Ricky Glacier.
What time is davening tomorrow? 7:20? So we'll have 15 minutes. Okay. Let me learn weiter. So we're holding over here in Perek Zion. And Alter Rebbe left last time we left off. On Thursday we began continuing in Geras Tshuva, where the Alter Rebbe says that the inyan of Tshuva Tata is to take out the neshama that went into the side of Klipas, that through Averis, since every person is getting their vitality pumped into them every moment, person's continuously getting the vitality pumped into them, person does an Avera, then his neshama goes down to the side of Klipas, which means that he forces the Shechina to give the light into these dirty pipes, etc. And his neshama goes down to that place of Klipa, and he brings the Shechina with him or her, which is what the pasuk says. Veheshev leinemar kim b'shov, that when a person goes out of Golos, the Shechina goes out of Golos as well. That's what we spoke about from the Mizmer that we say Heshev leinemar b'shov, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu also goes out of Golos, and so therefore that's what he began explaining. Tshuva tata, tshuvi law is going to be mitzvah shem, that not only does the neshama go out of the klipas, but that the neshama goes back into the Eibishter, just like before Hashem blew the neshama into his body. And now in Perek Zayin he begins discussing, so how do you do tshuva tata? That's what he's going to discuss now. Huh? Yeah, okay. Reg is back to the status of, not back into Ein Sof, but back to Neshama, of getting its vitality straight from the Shechina, not through the Klipas, not going into the Klipas. Person, the Lashon he used in Perek Vav is that a person is a Baal Bechir every moment. Are you getting your vitality from Elokus, pumped into you straight from Elokus, from the Hevel Elyon, from the supernal breath, which we learned about? Or are you making that the Shechina goes into the Klipas and you're getting a vitality from these dirty pipes, the klipa, that the Shechina is giving the vitality through those pipes of klipa. And so tshuva tatas to go out of the side, out of the mud, out of the dirt, and your neshama is still getting its vitality straight from Elokus. That's tshuva tatas. Tshuva law is that you're not getting your vitality from the Eibishter, but rather the neshama is going back into Hashem like before Hashem blew the neshama into your body, which we'll get to in Perek Ches. So Perek Zayin v'ulam, Derech ha'emes v'yashal b'chinas tshuva tata. Alter Rebbe says, now how do you actually do tshuva tata? He says, the derech ha'emes v'hayashal to tshuva tata. Now anyone that is sensitive to b'chlal Torah literature by tzaddikim, and b'frat Tanya will right away raise an eyebrow to this lashon. Derech ha'emes v'hayashal. The tshuva tata. I mean, that obviously is Omer Darsheni. What does the Alter Rebbe mean to say? Derech ha'emes v'hayosher to tshuva tata. So we'll get back to it. We'll get back to it, Mitzvah Shem. So he says that derech ha'emes v'hayosher to tshuva tata, hanal heim beiz dvarim derechal. You need two different things. Two things you need to be able to do tshuva tata. Ha'alef, hi la'oyer rachamim. We'll get back to it. Keep your finger here. Ha'alef, hi la'oyer rachamim. Now keep your finger here and skip to the next page. I mean, you don't have to turn, just the left side of the page, Daf Tzadik Zayin, on the fourth line from the top, where he says, V'habeiz levate shulachnia haklipa, which means to break and to subjugate the klipa. So there's two things you need to do. His oiris rachamim, to arouse rachamim, and number two, to break the klipa. Those are the two things which he's going to explain, which you need to do tshuva tata. Does anyone have any question before we even go further about what the Alter Rebbe just said now, that to do tshuva tata, the derech emes v'yosha, you need two things. One is this eiras rachamim, and the second one is levatush tachnia klipa. Anyone have any question about that?
What does that do with
tshuva? Well, what those two things have to do with tshuva, he's going to explain in a second. Huh? What do you mean? What does the Rambam say differently? So the Rambam says you have to have charata and vidui and aziv zachet. That's what the Rambam says. Could you ask a better question based on what we spoke about when we learned Perek Aleph?
Tanya says that.
What does Tanya say?
It says that you
Remember of Moshe, remember we learned in Perek Aleph with Alter Rebbe? You weren't there. Huh? What do we learn in Perek Aleph with Geras HaTshuva? Aziv zachet bilvad. Look again for a second at Perek Aleph. Turn again to page Tzadik Aleph, the top line. V'hine, first top line of Tzadik Aleph. V'hine mitzvah sachuv min ha-Torah zivas ha-chet belvad. We spent a long time, if you remember, we spent mamash 3 or 4 days, I recall, discussing how the Alter Rebbe seems to be arguing on the Rambam. We said he's really not arguing on the Rambam. I think you were here for that, right? Huh? What? They don't work. You were here, yeah. So we spent a long time discussing that. But Lamaisa, without getting into that again, how he's not arguing in the Rambam, we said that obviously the Alter Rebbe wouldn't argue in the Rambam. But Lamaisa, the Alter Rebbe himself said that mitzvah tshuva is a zivas achet. No, b'seid min haTorah. No. So a person is a zivas achet. A person is makabel and himself believes sholem that he belongs to the Eibusher, is not going to sing again. That's tshuva. And does Zoktib Saganza is a whole parak about Rachamim and Bitush and Das. So let's learn what these two things are. So that's the question should jump in your eye. I mean, it's an obvious question. So let's learn what these two things are, and then we'll come back and we'll see how the genius of the Rebbe, that based on a diuk of his father, that he explains that Emes V'yosher is Tiferes and Malchus. Emes and Yosher is Tiferes and Malchus in Spheres. In Kabbalah, Emes and Yosher is Tiferes and Malchus. And how the Rebbe, based on that deek of his father, will explain the whole inyan of how this doesn't contradict Perek Aleph. The Lubavitcher Rebbe. Schus again Aleinu. So, we'll get back, Mitzvah Shem, we'll get back to that. But let's see what these two things are. But I just want to say that right away it should be a question. But let's see. So he says, there's two dvarim derechlal. What are the two things you need to do tshuva? Number one, to do tshuva, in order. So he's saying it very much, l'maisa, how do you do tshuva? Again, we spoke about for a long time, the l'char tshuva is saying you belong to the Eibusher, aziva sachet. But here the Alter was saying, in order to do tshuva, you need to do these things. Number one is, l'oyre rachamim ha'elyoinim mimokar harachamim al nishmasai. The first thing you need to do is to be m'oyre rachamim elyoinim. You have to arouse supernal rachamim, supernal mercy, mimokar harachamim al nishmasei, on your soul. What does mokar harachamim mean? Well, Kodesh Baruch Hu, but what does it mean mokar harachamim? You're arousing rachamim yoinim from mokar. We're going to explain, but first, what's mokar harachamim? So I want to just say, did you ever notice in davening sometimes we call Hashem of harachamon? And sometimes we call him of Harachamim.
Yeah, during Musaf, Mincha, and...
Right. So what's the difference between... Why is it by Musaf, by Mincha and Shabbos, special times, the holier times we call God of Harachamim, and the holy times we call him of Harachamim, other times we call him of Harachaman. What's the difference between saying of Harachaman or of Harachamim? So of Harachaman means... Yeah? Right?
Be merciful.
Father is an adjective. Avarachamon is an adjective. He's a merciful father. Who's the source of rachamim. Exactly. Avarachamon means when God is already a merciful father, which you know already, obviously, he's talking about. In Atzilus, when Hashem is already enclosed in spheres. When you're saying Avarachamon, you're describing God as the merciful father. You're saying that he already has the attribute of being merciful. It's obviously talking about after he's enclosed in spheres. Of Harachamim, you're the father of Rachamim, you're the source of Rachamim. That's the mocker of Rachamim. There's a place for the Eibishter where he's Orein Sof, where he's not yet any adjective, he has no attributes, right? Above spheres. He's above being enclosed in the 10 spheres. And he's the of Rachamim. He's the mocker of Rachamim. That's Ein Sof. That's before Tzimtzum. So the Alter Rebbe is saying where you need to be more Rachamim is you have to go back to that place of mocker Harachamim. Why is that? Why do you have to go back to the place that's Mokar Harachamim, that's Ein Sof, that's before spheres? Why is that? Because always the rule is with tshuva, we're going to see this a lot in this parak. Torah and mitzvahs are connected to the 10 spheres. They're all about drawing God into the 10 spheres. What do sins do? Sins make a pagam, make a blemish in the 10 spheres. They make a blemish in Yudke Vavke. They make a blemish in the hay of Hashem's name, make a blemish in the pipes of Elokus, of the divine kelim that are bringing the light into the world. You're bringing those pipes into Klipa. So you have to go back to the source. The mashal that's used is that, the Alter Rebbe uses that, when you have a lot of pipes that get stuffed up, The pipes get stuffed up, and the water is not going through. So what do you have to do? You have to dig down deeper to get more water to bring, be able to bring the water to get rid of those, that dirt. You have to go to the source of the problem. So here you have to go to the source of Hashem Himself, to Avir Rachamim, to the Mokar of Rachamim. What do you say, Dovin?
I said that Avir Rachamim was enclosed in Atzilus.
Right. Of Harachamim is the source of Rachamim, which is the Mokar of Ein Sof. Right. Right, he doesn't have any definition. Right, he doesn't have. That's why he's of Harachamim. He's the source of Rachamim. He doesn't have Rachamim. He's the source of Rachamim. That's what's called Mokar Harachamim. Why are you limiting it? He is the source of everything. He's the source of earthworms too. Nachon en lagdara, but on makor shalakol. He's the source of everything. He's the source of earthworms too, and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches also. He's the source of everything. But right now, what you want to get from him is rachamim. Huh? And platypuses. Yeah. Of course he's the source of it. He's the source of everything. Lo magdirim oto that he's the source of everything. He's not, you're not saying he's the source of that. That's his... You have to remember, again, he's not getting... You always have to remember, when you learn Chassidus, every time you learn what it is you're focusing on. Obviously, there are places in Chassidus that explain that Ein Sof, how could he possibly... That by Ein Sof, a platypus and an earthworm and rachamim are equally negated from him. So how are you going to get from Ein Sof to any of these things? So there's the technicalities of how you bring them about through Tzimtzum, Metal HaZachin, obviously that. But here he's... In Negeres HaTshuva, he's not focusing on the Haskalah and understanding these things. He's not getting into the technicalities of how they work. Here he's just saying, you have to be Ma'ir Rachamim. You have to be, that's what you need now from a Kodesh Baruch. You need to be Ma'ir Rachamim. Now, what we are going to speak about is, for some reason, there's a Gilui of Rachamim from Ein Sof, which is high, which is like the first Gilui, the highest Gilui from Ein Sof. The first Gilui is Rachamim, which is Yigim Midas Rachamim. We're going to speak about Mitzvah Shem. Yigim Midas Rachamim is the first Gilui from Ein Sof, Ki'ilu, even more before than anything else. So we'll get to that mitzvah. So let's see. We're going to learn out this Indian of Rachamim. We're going to spend two or three days because it's very important. Yeah?
Why in general? I mean, I understand human beings, why they would be able to work. Why would he ever go to Avraham? Why would he not always go to Avraham? When you're asking,
It's not that we not always can we reach that level so easily. The idea is that when we're davening, if it's not, the mincha by Shabbos is a level, is the highest revelation of Shabbos, so you ki'ilu, but when you daven, you kiviyochle, you're at that level. But the rest of the time, you can't always get to that level, break out of that level, and draw down from that level. Tshuva has that koyach of reaching a level which we know is higher than Torah mitzvahs.
But that's mixing human terms with
I can't hear you.
That's mixing human terms with Eibishter terms.
What is mixing human terms with Eibishter terms? It's not a question of what we could ask. It's a question of what the tzaddikim, what chazal, what anshik nasagdela told us, what we're able to access at that moment. It's not a question of it's not just, obviously, every time we, you have to remember, every time we're speaking to the Eibishter, to Atmos. Wait, listen. Right. Every time we're speaking to the Eibishter as is. The question is every time, when you're speaking to the Eibishter, what aspect of his light are you now drawing down into the world by saying the bracha that you're saying? So obviously it's always him you're speaking to, but the question, like, you have to remember, when you're speaking to a person, always, this is the mashal that's brought in the Sfarim. When you're speaking to a person has a lot of layers to their personality, right? So when a person in the elevator asks you what time it is, and you answer them, or your wife asks you a question, they're both speaking to you. But when the person in the elevator asks you what time it is, or your wife asks you a question, they're not accessing the same, I'm putting in quotation marks, amount of who you are. When your wife speaks to you and then you respond to her, your response is coming from a much deeper place of who you are than when you respond to a person what time it is in the elevator. Now, they're both speaking to you, but the question is, what aspect of how pneumious within you is going to be in that response? So Shabbos by Mincha, where it's mamash the time of Raiva Deraiva, and you're reaching such a high level, so then Hashem is responding, he's eliciting light from Avir Rachamim. Tshuva is mamash reaching that deepest level that God is now going to respond to from that deepest place. Yeah? Do you understand the No, not necessarily. It could be Shabbos Mincha is not true. Shabbos Mincha is not, the Avodah is not tshuva per se. Shabbos Mincha is partially you reach that place where your mamash, you know, you reach that place automatically. Or by Yom Kippur. No, but think about the mashal that I said to you. The mashal that I said to you. When your kid cries out to you, Abba or Tati, and you turn to them with all of who you are. Mashenkin, if a regular person says to you, you know, Mr. Cederbaum, you turn to them, but like you're not, you don't stop everything you're doing and turn to them, right? So it's always you, but it's a question of how deep within you that response is going to be elicited. So the first thing, Eitan, you had a question? Okay, so the first thing that the Salter Rebbe says is, L'oyer rachamim el yoinim. Now let's see, what does it mean, L'oyer rachamim el yoinim? Now I want to show, let's read the words and then I want to, let's discuss it, because it's a very important, deep thing in Judaism. Ha'alef ul'oyer rachamim el yoinim, to arouse divine, supernal rachamim, mimokar harachamim, from the source of mercy, on what are you arousing mercy on? Number one, on the shmasai, v'nafshe elikis, on your own soul, you're arousing mercy on your own soul. What are you arousing mercy on your own soul? Well, first of all, let's just push it before we get in. What does it mean to arouse mercy? I mean, this is something that is so much in our tefillahs, and sometimes people don't even know where to put it. What does it mean to be ma'ayir rachamim? Ever wonder? By the way, anyone ever go to the oil, to the Lubavitcher Rebbe's kever? So you know the minhag is when you go to the Lubavitcher Rebbe's kever, to the oil, you write a pan, a kvittel, a tzettel, and the nusach by chassidim is that when you write a letter to the Rebbe, you begin, ono la'ayir rachamim rabim al, and then you write your name. Ono la'ayir, what? So now you know. When you go to the oil, you write a letter. You begin. The nusach is Ono la'oyer rachamim rabim al. So you're asking the Rebbe to be ma'oyer rachamim rabim. Could someone tell me what does it mean that you're trying to be ma'oyer rachamim?
So that din doesn't.
By the way, excuse me, Josh. I'm going to get back to you in a second. I just want you to know we're going to learn this, cause, and I want to spend, like I said, some time on this because it's very important. After you see this, and then you pay attention, you'll be shocked how much in davening is about that. You don't even realize that that's what you're trying to do. What do you say, Josh?
Doesn't rachamim exist because if we were on the letter of the law, din existed, then we wouldn't exist.
So now you're explaining why Hashem had to be shitef b'midas rachamim. Why Hashem wanted to create the world with din, whatever that means, and then he added rachamim. So we need it, you're saying, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to exist. That's true. I'm asking Peshaw, what does it mean to be ma'ir rachamim? What does it mean to arouse mercy? Peshaw, what does it mean to be arouse mercy? You're right, but you're already talking Kabbalah. I'm asking Pasha by human beings. What does it mean that one human being is Ma'ir Rachman by another human being? Think about it for a second. What does it mean to be Ma'ir Rachman by another human being?
That emotion.
How do you arouse that emotion of compassion?
Can I forget? Not like forgetting.
Crying.
But to...
Crying is a way to do it.
Begging.
Begging. What, think about for a second what it is. Imagine a case where you're trying to ask somebody else to have mercy on you. You're arousing person that you're saying them, please have mercy on me. You're arousing that they should have mercy. You have a compassion in you, huh? That's a way to do it, Ki'ilu. But what are you doing? A way to do it is to be batal. But what are you doing? What does it mean to arouse compassion? You're begging somebody for mercy. Do you realize how that tenua, that movement to beg someone for mercy, is an extraordinarily powerful thing? We're going to speak about that. You know that anybody, to love somebody, you have to have some kind of connection to the person. To have mercy on somebody, you don't have to have any relationship with them at all. You ever notice that? You don't have, think about it for a second. You don't have to have any relationship with somebody to have mercy for them. To love somebody, you have to have a relationship with them. But if you see, you know those commercials they have for kids in Africa and stuff? You don't have to care the slightest about the person. When somebody's begging for mercy or somebody's trying to get you to have mercy on them, it works. Think about it for a second. Anybody could get you to have, if you see somebody crying to you and asking you for mercy, it works. You ever wonder about that? And it could be an animal. Animals. See, animals, you could have mercy on animals. That's why people confuse mercy with love. But you could have mercy on anything. That's how deep mercy is. That mercy is such a deep thing, which is why it's Kavem Tzoy, it's the middle line. It's in the spheres, it's the middle. It goes so deep that anybody could cause you to have mercy on them. And that's why what it says, that you could cause, when you cause Hashem to have mercy, that means that even in a place where Kiviyachol, His love is not revealed at this moment right now, you could cause His mercy to be revealed. Or let's say, or like the case always is, let's say when you beg for mercy from a king, or you beg, I mean, in a court system, it doesn't really work, right? In the judicial system in America, or any judicial system where you have courts and stuff, there's no such thing, you can't really beg a judge for mercy. Is it, does that work? Is according to law, you're allowed to do that? Huh?
Well, it's an argument. It's that they started to make the church have mercy on this guy.
It's called the court is allowed to.
The mercy of the court.
So that means that the court is allowed. But in a legal system and in a court, a court is allowed to say.
The law of the mercy of the court.
Yeah? Really? Interesting. I'm saying for the punishment, let's say a person commits a capital crime, a person does a crime, and according to the law, he has to be in jail for 30 years. He could beg for mercy, and they could say, we won't only give you 5 years of jail.
According to the law, they have different punishments. It's the
discretion
of the...
Uh-huh, okay, so, okay, that does prove the point, right, it shows you how much mercy... Yeah.
You're so disconnected from it, it doesn't...
And you have, like, no shaykhs with the person, and yet you have mercy on them. I'm saying, so the person comes to you and begs for mercy, you had no connection with the person, all of a sudden you feel like you're invested in it. Right?
If a guy kills somebody in prison for 25 years, then he comes up this time for parole.
Right.
So then he begs for mercy that they should...
Okay, so I'm saying, so you see how powerful mercy is to beg for mercy. When you're begging for mercy, even though you don't have a connection to the person, you feel, and Imamish hits you in the kishkas. You know, you're walking down the subway and a person begs you for mercy, that they beg you for money, you're going to give them money. If they beg you and they hit you, you're going to feel bad for the person. That's how deep it is. So here the Alter Rebbe is saying, to do tshuva is you're begging God for mercy. Now, by the way, just today is Monday. We're not saying tachton yet. But if you ever pay attention to the words of, let's say, the long tachton that we say on Monday and Thursday... It happens to be the most beautiful tefillah. I mean, everyone likes to make yantavs that we don't say tachnun. But Monday and Thursday is mamish, if you look, it's so beautiful. And essentially, it's a long begging God for mercy. It's pashut begging God for mercy. If you look at the lashon, you're begging God for mercy. Which is why it's part of tshuva. So let's see. So he's being oyerachim el yoinim imokarachim. Now, who are you begging for mercy for? So here's an interesting thing. Number one is al nishmasay and your soul... V'nafshele kiss, your soul that's within you, the divine soul. Shenafla me'igra rama lebira mikta. You know the lashon igra rama lebira mikta? Igra rama lebira mikta means from a high roof to a deep pit. Igra rama lebira mikta. I just want to tell you, since we're saying these words, I want to tell you a beautiful vart that I heard from the Satmarot. I mean, I'm going to get back to it in a second. The lashon he's referring to is from the Gemara and Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga says that the pasuk says, "Hishlich meshamayim eretz tiferes Yisrael." That Hashem by the Churban threw from Shemaim to Eretz tiferes Yisrael, the splendor of Yisrael. Hishlich meshamayim eretz tiferes Yisrael. So the Gemara says that I think Rav Yudah Anasi, somebody cried and said, "Me'igur rama lebira mikta," from a high roof to a deep pit. So I saw from a certain Rav that was Masbid, he gave a hesped on the Satmar Rav and Rabbi Yoilish. He said a beautiful vart, which always stayed with me, that he said like this, that l'chayra, what's a bigger distance? Heaven and earth, or a high roof to a deep pit?
Well, technically speaking, it's here.
Heaven and earth, l'chayra, is a much bigger distance. Shemaim to Aretz is a bigger distance than Igaram l'bira mikta. So the Gemara's kilu, he's crying, he wants to say, oi, how terrible the churban was, hishlich mishamayim eretz tiferes Yisrael, that Hashem threw the tiferes Yisrael from Shemaim to Aretz. So he cried and he said, "Me'igur amal levir mikta," from a high roof to a deep pit. So he says, so this Rav says, so what's he's seemingly minimizing it, right? So he says, no, because the Vart's like this. Shemayim ba'aretz, things that are in Shemayim, you don't see ba'aretz b'chlal. You're complete disconnected. The Vart of Igaram of Bira Mikta means something that's within your reality, that's on a high roof, that you see it prominently displayed beautifully on a roof, and all of a sudden it gets thrown to a deep pit where it's completely not seen anymore. That's so the Vart that he wants to say is that the Hishlich M'Shamayim Eretz is not just that it was something from heaven to earth, but Beis HaMikdash was something that was from heaven, but was an Igur Rama. It was a Shamayim, but you weren't disconnected from it. It was part of our reality. And now it got thrown into a deep pit that we don't have it anymore, which is what he was saying about the Satmar Rav, that you see a tzaddik like that, it's not just shot that it's a Himmeldik person, it's somebody that you see, and now we lost the tzaddik like that. It's something that's available to you. But the bottom line is the Gemara says that Igur Rama means a huge high roof, and now it's in a deep pit that you don't see it anymore. That's the Gemara's lashon. The Gemara's lashon about the Beis Hamikdash is Igur Rama lebira mikta, from a high roof to that you could see into a deep pit. Right now says the Alter Rebbe. What time is Shabbos? Today's 35. Right, 7:35. 7:30. So one more minute. Let's just see inside. So the Alter Rebbe says, so the neshama is Nafla. Now the Alter Rebbe adds a few words. I want you to appreciate that the words in the Gemara is Igur Rama lebira mikta. So here the Alter Rebbe is adding words. Do you understand? I want you to see what's the Gemara's lashon and what's the Alter Rebbe's lashon. Igur Rama, says the Alter Rebbe. What's the Igur Rama? What's the high roof we're talking about now? Chaye Hachayim Baruch Hu. Chaye Hachayim Baruch Hu. The life of all life. What's the life of all life? Chaim is all the vitality in all the worlds. Chaye Hachayim is the life of life, the one that gives vitality to all the worlds. And that's where the neshama comes from. From Chaya Chaim, from the life of your neshama came from the Eibishter himself. Imagine your neshama was in the, and where's it now? Lebir Amikta, to the deep pit, is Heicholas Hatumah V'Sitra Achra, into a place Poshut Hatumah V'Sitra Achra. Imagine a person that was brought up in a beautiful mansion, with, you know, in complete luxury, and is now living in the slums of disgusting filth. And even more than that is the our neshama that went from the Eibishter to this deep pit. So that's the first thing, to arouse mercy that your soul got thrown into such a place. Stop. Continue tomorrow. Hey, Cholos, the palaces of Tumen Sitra Achra, in the realm.